Good to be with you this morning. I always have fond memories of Leander because as I was introducing my children to BW, I realized that I used to go and be around BW and when I was their age. So this relationship goes a long ways, goes back a long ways from when we started. And so before I start speaking to you about a message that's on my heart, I want to tell you I do bring greetings from the brethren in Chile. People you do not know, who they contribute their salvation to your generosity, and they love you for it, and they wish they could be here. They always wish if they could come and see what it's like to go on furlough. But after we tell them the horror stories, they don't want to come. But no, they do. They pray for you regularly. They ask how they can help you, what you're doing, and they want to know about you as much as you want to know about them. So this morning, coming bringing those gifts and those cares and those greetings from people you do not know, but that are fellow citizens in the kingdom, I tried to figure out, what do I share with you? What do I speak to you? And as I began to think about that process, I began to think about Paul. And it's interesting that on this furlough, I've really had a lot of things that I've really felt in common with Paul. You know, just what Paul did and what Paul went, and he traveled here and he went there and he was with brethren in one country and one city, and he reported to the brethren and he would evangelize and talk and then send back letters back and forth. And so I began to relate a lot more to Paul. I don't know why this time than other times. But this time, as I began to think about Paul, a phrase kept coming to mind. And if you'll advance to 1 Philippians, or you turn your Bibles, 1 Philippians 1, 3 through 17. And what Paul says to them, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you are making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, I am sure of this, that he will do good work in you and will bring you to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And it is right for me to feel this way about you, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. And so as I thought about Paul, I thought about, wow, Leander has been with us from the beginning. And so I want to share with you a little bit about who we are and where we've come from, and so that you can know what the work in Chile is like. But before I do that, let me tell you a little bit about Paul and his relationship with the Philippian brethren. Paul, as we talked a little bit briefly about, was his life as a missionary in the region of Galatia, in the region of Asia, in the region of Philippi and Greece and all that this morning in Bible class. You think about Paul when he came to Philippi. Well, it started out as he was in Galatia, and he was in Galatia wanting to go to Asia, and God wouldn't let him go to Asia, and all of a sudden he receives this vision of the Macedonian man calling him to come to Macedonia. And with hesitation, I think, because he wanted to go to Asia, God called him to Macedonia, where he went to Philippi, and he went to a community of Philippi that really wasn't the common area that he would go to, because there was no synagogue. But he went down to the river to pray, where he knew that if there were any believing Jewish people, they would be there. And he ran into a lady called, her name was Lydia. And he began to share with Lydia, and within a short time, Lydia and her entire household came to know the Lord. And as that continued, there was another instance of a girl possessed by a demon, and she kept calling out that they were servants of the Most High God, and the people needed to listen to him. And eventually she got on Paul's nerves, if you remember the story. And he cast out the demon, which makes the guy mad, who was using her to tell the future. And in that turmoil, Paul and his companion, Silas, get thrown in jail. And in jail, they're praying and they're lifting up thanksgiving to the Lord, and an earthquake hits and it opens all the doors to the prison, and the jailer's about to commit suicide. And when he's about to commit suicide, Paul calls him and says, "Don't do that, we're here." And they explain the gospel to the Philippian jailer, and he and his household come to know the Lord. And so just from its instance, it started out in an environment with turmoil and difficulty, but Paul remembers them greatly in all of his prayers. And so now as I look at Chile, and I want to share with you a few pictures to tell you where we've come from and how you've been involved in our life. And actually, I think if the picture comes up with my family on it, we're having technical difficulties this morning and this week, and my computer over the week has had some different type of technical difficulties, but maybe we'll make it through. Now, this is a current picture of my family. Naomi is 15, Isaac is 13, Simeon is 11, and Enoch is 9, and Tay and I have been married 17 years. Okay? But this work that you started with us, and this partnership that you started with us, was when we were at Sunset. You began to help us go through Sunset, and I actually remember preaching some of my first sermons here. Getting started in the work, and growing through that process. And in 2002, you partnered with us when we went to Chile and started to work in another country. But as a family, we've grown. We started out with no family and no kids, and now we have 4. And this year, because of what you have been involved in our lives, this past year, we got to experience one of the greatest joys that a parent will experience. Because Naomi and Isaac both put on the Lord in baptism this past year. And so you've seen us grow, and you've seen how our family has changed. And I think the next picture's there. There it is. You've seen how we've grown. You've been with us from the beginning through our family until where we are today. So as a family, you've been with us from the beginning, just as Paul could relate to the Philippians. The next picture, you partnered with us when we went to a city of almost 7 million people. When we went, it was about 5.5 million. Now we're close to 6.5 million, pushing closer to 7. And in that city, we went to a city where an area of town, there were no churches of Christ in that area. There are 8 smaller churches in Santiago, and there was nobody. And so we went to establish a work that was in an area of town that there was no one within a pretty good distance from where we are. And through the years, you've seen and you've participated in the establishing of a church that now is about 140 members. And that church is also a church that now has the financial stability to pay its own pulpit minister. Just like you guys are getting a new one, in 2013, Claudio, or 2012, Claudio started as the full-time minister for the congregation. And that's he and his wife, who also have kids that are range in the 15 or 13 to 15 range. So you see how the church has grown, and you've partaken from that. Some of you have, some of you have, some of you are new, some of you have been here for a long time. And the next slide, I think, will bring up the different things. And I'm going to show you a little bit about where we are in our social club. Just go ahead and scroll through them. Social class, Chile is a very diverse social class. They've got a high social class and very low. They've got a pretty large middle class. But our church sits within 80% of our church, or 70% of our church fits in that middle to upper class, which is very uncommon for anyone outside of a Catholic church, which gives them the ability to be financially stable. They're 80% Chilean. We've got some nationalities in there, some that are from Central America, some from Northern and Argentina, different places. And then they've got our family, who are the 6 North Americans that are still there. Because our last missionary team member, came back to the States this past year. Education, they're highly educated. They're well educated, most of them with doctorate or at least college, university, and even some with doctorates and so forth. Financially, and this is one of the things that if you've been involved in many works in Latin America, will find rather unique. Because the church that God has planted through our work and through your help is 100% financially stable. It receives no finances from U.S. sources. So if they pay a hired minister, they pay all their financial, and all of that comes from their giving and their generosity as a congregation, which is not common. But the interesting thing is that we have members who have been in the faith very few years. We have only about 10 or 15% of our congregation that have been Christians more than 10 years. We have a larger group that have been Christians from 5 to 10 years. But a good portion of our congregation have been Christians less than 5 years. And it's interesting to see how God is growing that congregation, is allowing them to be financially stable, be allowing them to move on and to grow and to reach out to their families. And they've been Christians 5 years or 10 years. Next picture will show you. This past year, we hit another milestone. Being a congregation of 140, being a congregation that has grown over a few years and grown in spiritual maturity, this past year, in January of 2013, the congregation chose, and through prayer and through the work of the Spirit and through a lot of time and study, these two men to serve as elders. So we've got two men who are serving and have been called by the Lord to serve as elders in a congregation that's less than 15 years old. So that's what you've come through. That's what you've seen from the beginning until now. Now, I didn't have enough time, or computer issues didn't allow me to print off enough of these or to send it by email. We'll try to get it sent by email. I gave BW a few of these so we can, the elders can see them. We can make photocopies of them. This is about what's next. Because these men who are spiritually leading this congregation, accompanied by a group of families that are driving in 45 minutes to an hour for church, which to you guys that may not seem that far, and with the minister and a couple of other men who are really wanting to help serve in preaching the gospel, we are going to be planting a new church starting August, September when we get back off furlough. And all of that information is in here. So if you want this, see me afterwards. I can get you an email address. You can send it to me. I'll send it to you. But it's a really neat deal to see that the church we helped plant, the men we helped mature, and the women we helped mature are now saying, okay, now we want to send you to do this work elsewhere. Doesn't happen very often. And we're blessed to be that. So what does that mean for Paul's message to the Philippian brethren? I think there's four things that Paul says to them that these Chilean brethren want you to be a part and to continue being a part of placing a key piece of that puzzle and stepping out and living outside of yourself and just here in Leander and sharing the faith in Santiago, Chile. And the first one is, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, he says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in my love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in the full in accordance and in one mind. Paul says, so if there is, or in the English Standard Translation it says that, but in reality he says, since there is this, since there is love, and since there is encouragement in Christ Jesus, since there is a communion in love, and a communion in participation, he says, be teammates in the kingdom. What he's saying is, because Christ did what he did, he's asking us, asking you, asking the brethren in Chile, asking the brethren in California that we've been to, asking the brethren we'll see in Georgia, asking all of us to be teammates in this process of reaching and spreading the kingdom. So what do the brethren in Chile need from you? They need to know that you are of the same mindset. They need to know that you are being transformed into the likeness of Christ, the same as you're wanting them to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. That's where the confidence comes. that you are growing and you're sharing in your love as they are growing and sharing and trying to love more people. They want to know that you're being led by the same Spirit and to see what your good works and what the Spirit is leading you to do as much as you're looking to them to see what God is doing in their lives. And they want to know. And to be teammates means that they have the confidence that you and them and all of us in the body of Christ are about sharing our faith with the lost. Because teammates work together in that process. And Paul tells the brethren in Philippi, he says, I'm here, and he is in prison in Rome. He says, I know, and we are of the same mind, that you are evangelizing and you are sharing your faith just like I am and I have been. And that's what Paul wants to know from them. And so the Chileans, it's funny, the Chileans, being first-generation Christians from coming out of Catholicism, they're like, what do they do in the States to evangelize? How are the churches growing there? What kind of things what do they do in the States to grow and to reach out to the lost and share their faith? Because they just can't imagine it. And so we try to share that with them so that they can know and going to the same direction. The second thing he says, and I think this one's always fascinated me. He says, for our citizenship, and this is in chapter 3, he says, but our, verse 20, I'll read from verse 19. I'll read from verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like the glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. One thing that's always fascinated me, and our kids talk about it too, is there's an interesting concept when you have a blue passport that says United States on it. When we arrive in the United States, there may be a line of 100 or 200 or 300 people waiting to go through immigration. But we have a line that says for U.S. citizens only that they can walk over and go through. And they're like, wait a minute. And it used to surprise me too when I was growing up in Colombia. I was like, wait a minute, but this is the line. And no, there's one over here especially for you guys as U.S. citizens. When we go to the embassy, take the kids to the embassy, or we go have to renew a passport at the embassy, or whatever we have to do at the embassy, there can be a line, a 30-minute wait outside the door, and we walk up to the door and show our U.S. passport, and we go straight in. There is an interesting concept about being part or being a citizen of the United States that you carry with you wherever you go in this world. There is even a greater benefit of being a citizen of the kingdom of God that you carry throughout this world. You have brethren in Chile who have never met you, but they have the same privileges and the same responsibilities as kingdom residents as you do. They have the same forgiveness. They have the same transformation. They're awaiting the same future. But you've never met because you are co-citizens of the kingdom. They have the same responsibilities to teach the lost, to share the gospel of Christ, to share the love of Christ to those around them and be transformed by the study of God's Word. You guys, or y'all if you're in Texas, have the same responsibility and same joy of citizen kingdom as our church that's over 5,000 miles away. And Paul says, we are co-citizens of the kingdom of God. Third thing he says, we share in the bumps and the bruises. Paul finds himself in prison. Paul finds himself in a very difficult situation because prison in modern day concept is a fairly difficult situation. Imagine it 2,000 years ago. Okay? He's been imprisoned. As in Corinthians it says, he's been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. You just name it. because of the spread of the gospel. And because the brethren at Philippi, because Lydia and the jailer and the people they're converting have been partnered with him for so long, they were in the good times and in the bad times with Paul. You have been with Tay and I through the good times and the bad times, but you've been with the brethren in Chile from the good times and the bad times. Four years ago, we had a terrible earthquake. 2 months ago, we had another bad one. But you were praying for us, and you shared with us, and you helped us through your love for the gospel. And those brethren know it because they receive letters and encouragement from all over the world. When you guys are having weather issues and tornado issues and things that are going on up here, those brethren are sharing with you in that concept. Because we share in the bumps and bruises as fellow citizens of the kingdom. And the last thing, and with this one I'll stop. I think I'm almost out of time. My kids asked me this morning, "So Daddy, is their service longer or shorter than ours usually is?" We used to go about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. So we're going to be done shorter than we normally do. The last one he shares, we share in the fruit. And Paul says, "I don't seek for the gift." Paul didn't talk to the Philippian brothers and say, "I just want your gift. I just want your monetary help." He says, "But I seek for a fruit that's increased to your account. I have received in full in payment and more, and I am well supplied. I have received from Epaphras the gift that you sent, which was a fragrant aroma or fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." The brethren in Chile are to your account in the kingdom of God. Others had partaken in that, others took part in that, yes. But because of your generosity in sending Tay and I and our family to the mission field, there are brethren there whose marriages have been restored. There are brethren there who've been able to overcome physical and emotional abuse to get right with God. There are brethren there who have been reconciled in their relationships with their families because you chose to send us with a gift. And that God sees and adds to your credit. We thank you for your gift, and we pray that it will continue for many times, because the Chilean brethren, the elders who decided to move into a new direction and plant a new church with some members from the current church in Chile, want to plant a new church, and they're asking, and they've asked us since they started to come up with this idea, that if there's any way that Tay and I could stay there and work side by side with them in that process. That's going to require your gift. It's going to require the gifts of many churches in the United States have been helping us. But they don't require, the Chileans are not wanting that gift. They're wanting to be able to attribute fruit to the gospel that's on your part for helping us. So we can share in that fruit. And so what Paul says is, he looks back and he talks about his relationship with the Philippian brethren. He says, "You are my teammates. You are my co-citizens. You are in it with on the highs and on the lows, and you receive the fruit of my labor." And I would say to you, you have been our teammates from before we went to the mission field. Even when I was a child, you were active in that. You have been co-partakers of the kingdom of God with me since the time I became a Christian. You've shared in the highs and lows. You've shared in the good times and the bad times. And you have increased your fruit in the kingdom because of your generosity. And Paul says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in your spirit." If you've not participated in the kingdom, if you're not there, If you haven't taken that step, if you're in one of those low times and you're in one of those high times and you want to celebrate or you want the prayers of this congregation, I'm almost positive, because I know the kingdom of God and I know God's people. There are people here who can help you in that moment. So if you need the prayers of the congregation, come and stand and sing.